Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to start this service off, a sermon off, a little bit unique, in a unique way this morning because we have something to celebrate. The Swidraks, Dick and Kathy, why don't you stand up for just a second? So, 50 years they've been married. Yeah, we just want to honor you. So tell us, what's the secret? Amen. Hey, amen. Amen. So we're so thankful for you. You're such a pivotal part of our church. And we're thankful for your marriage as much as you guys are, because you are a great team. So you make a great team, and you work well together. You represent Christ well together. So we have cake. They've actually brought cake for their own anniversary. So I'm not surprised. They're such servants. So if you want to stick around on your way out, grab a piece of cake and celebrate with them. But that's only by God's grace. Amen? Yeah, so you guys can have a seat. Thanks so much. So give it up one more time. Another thing I was made aware of is that my bulletin, my notes, feel like an essay test. So I'll be collecting them afterwards for a grade. I'm just kidding. But it is a little bit out of the ordinary, I know, but hey, that's okay. It's good to be different once in a while. So, and also, there's another person told me that they felt pressure to fill it all out. There's no pressure. Just write whatever, or don't write anything at all. It's up to you. So, but I kept it a little bit abstract for those of you that are maybe a little more abstract thinkers and are always writing in between the lines of your notes anyway. So now you got all the space in the world. So I'm just going to pray for us. It's such a great high energy day because of baptisms, and let's just keep that going. God, thank you for these people. They've blessed me so much. And Lord, I just pray that your word blesses us, challenges us today as we look at it. God, we're doing it all for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. So I don't know about you, but I can remember times in my life when I was challenged by my parents, primarily my mom, okay, let's be honest, with my mom, to do things I didn't want to do. And I was terrified. So I remember the first time my mom sent me into the grocery store to get something for myself. I was like 13. Can you guys remember that? The first time that maybe you had to call a doctor for the first time. And I have to schedule my own appointment. And my mom's like, yeah, go. Like, you got to do it. You got to learn to be an adult sometime. I remember being so terrified to pump gas for the first time. My mom pulls up. She hands me her credit card and says, okay, go pump gas. I'm like, wait, what? Like, no, you do it. And it became her rule. As soon as I got my temps, I was the pumper. Like, even if she was driving, it's like, I don't have to pump. She's like, I don't have to pump again. Like, all winter long, she's like, you get to pump now. That's great. So young parents, take notes. I'm going to do that. It's a great thing. But I can remember that feeling of that anxiety. It was like the hardest thing I ever had to do as a 13-year-old. And the funny thing was, if I only knew how hard life would actually get, am I right, later. But still, it's that overwhelming feeling of, I have to go do this. But I would always come out on the other side a little bit better. You know, you learn that I can call the doctor's office on my own. And I can sketch, and they're nice people. They're going to help me, right? I can call the bank. I can go to the bank and deposit my own check. I can do it on my own. And it's through those situations. I can remember almost every single one that nervousness. And then, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to do it, right? It's that feeling. But you always come out on the other side better for it, right? Stronger for it. And I can't help but think that that's how the disciples must have felt. Think about it. Jesus came and he was living among them. And I said this a couple weeks ago. He was literally they were walking through life with the Son of God, living life. I mean, life was good, right? They had God right there. They could ask him any question. They could see how he lived every moment of every day. They'd have amazing journeys together. It was an amazing time. And then Jesus says, listen, I got to go. I need to leave. And the panic that set in, Jesus, you can't go. Why would you go? Please, please don't leave us. But what did Jesus say? He says, it's better that I go. In fact, in a way, we're better off without Jesus, physically here at least. Why? Because he says, I promise to send somebody. I promise to send the Holy Spirit to guide you. And this Holy Spirit comes, they had no idea. Romans 8:11, I'm just going to read this. Just listen to these words. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Jesus is saying, listen, I understand. Disciples, I understand. He's saying to us, church, I understand that it might seem odd that I'm not going to stay here with you, to live this human life with you forever. But I'm sending resurrection power to live in your hearts. I am sending what I call an unfair advantage to live in your hearts. It is better that I leave because now the Spirit will come and dwell among you. And so, church, today, this is a reminder. The Spirit, God himself, lives in you. And he is the one that empowers the Christian life. It's an amazing truth. It's something that we need to hold on to, and we need to realize that he lives in you, and the same power that conquered death and raised the Messiah from the grave lives in you. Amen. We can go home, right? Someone's like, yes. I'm kidding. But really, it's a great reminder, and it's something we need to realize that it's not an ambiguous spirit. It's not this force that the God's force, like the Jedi Master has sent us the force, and now we're all Jedis, you know, with Jesus. No, Jesus is not a Jedi. Jesus is God, and the Spirit is God dwelling in his people. He is our deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. We have been given the Spirit, and now we have new life through him, and now we have the power of him in us to guide us to do this Christian life. And I have to be reminded that it's the same powerful Spirit. This Spirit that raised Jesus, that literally conquered the grave, is living in me. And so we're going to dig in. We're going to continue to look at this text. We're going to look at Luke 4. And I know we've been in Luke 4 forever. I promise we'll get out of Luke 4. But we're going to look at Luke 4 again today because I think there's another powerful piece to this puzzle as we work through what it means to have the Spirit, who this Spirit is in our lives. See, Jesus came, he lived among us as a human, and he modeled what life in the Spirit, having the Spirit, looked like. In previous weeks, Pastor Jim talked about being full of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and we're going to look at another idea today, having the power of the Spirit. A little background to this story, Jesus was tempted. If you remember, he was baptized, started his ministry, led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. So he was tempted, experienced all this trying and temptation and all these things he went through. He's now come out of that time of temptation. He's now ready to engage in ministry. So as we dig into this text today, we're going to see what it's starting to look like as Jesus is starting this public ministry. What that next step is and how he lived that out. So if you would turn with me to Luke 4, and we're going to be starting in verse 14. That's where we're going to be today, Luke 4, 14. If you don't have a Bible, we have the verses will be up on the screen. We're going to be looking at verse 14 and 15. So once you're there, once you turn there, go ahead and stand. I'm going to read this for us so you can read along with me. Luke 4, 14 and 15. There we go. Okay. It says this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. You may have a seat. Another up down, am I right? Up down, up down. So we're going to dig in. We're going to look at this text. We're going to see what this has for us. So here's Jesus. He's now returning to Nazareth. And here's a little bit of context about Nazareth. This is his hometown, the region of Galilee. So Jesus is coming back to Galilee. He's coming back to this area. And now he has the power of the Holy Spirit guiding him. But see, the people there knew who he was. These were his people. And I can kind of relate because I just moved back to Lorain County. And I grew up here. I've been gone for 10 years and I grew up here. I came back. And so there's a sense of familiarity. There's a sense where people know you, and sometimes that's not always a good thing, at least not for me, let's be honest. It's like I'm locked into who I was when I was in high school. I kind of feel that, like people are like, oh yeah, I know that, that's Charlie. And I sense that's kind of how Jesus felt. Obviously, he was perfect, and he lived a perfect life, and everyone knew who he was, but he was just an average guy, and it was, oh yeah, that's Jesus. and this is his family, this is what he does, he's the carpenter's son, you know, that's just Jesus. And I can only imagine the feeling that the people there must have felt, like, oh, like, no big deal, he's back, he must have been out on a long vacation or something, he's back, gonna go be a carpenter with his dad again, whatever. And they have these preconceived notions of who he is. But Allah has changed. Because now we see Jesus here. We see here that he has returned with what? The power of the Spirit. So now Jesus has come back. He's now full of the power of the Spirit. And now here's something that's interesting. He didn't just get the power of the Spirit. He's had it all along, okay? He's God. And he's had the Spirit guiding him this entire time. But now he's making it public. Now we're going to see as we begin to dig into this and as we work through this amazing book of Luke, he's now making this power known. He's not hiding who he is anymore. This is God who has come for a mission. And he is now ready. He is now living out of that mission. He's come back now, but something's changed. He's come in the power of the Spirit. So I was wrestling with this. I was thinking through as I was trying to figure out, like, okay, this we're being full of the Spirit. Now we're led in the Spirit, and now there's the power of the Spirit. And what does that all mean? And how do we work through that? Like, what's the importance of this? And I was kind of wrestling through all of that today and the week leading up to this. And I began to sort through to think through a key question for us. So the question that I want us to look at today as we think about the Spirit is this. Here's the idea. What is the purpose of the power of the Spirit? And why should we talk about it? What's the purpose? Why on earth do we even have the power of the Spirit? Why? What is the purpose? And so I think as we look at Jesus' story, as we dig into this, and I think that as we unpack some supporting scripture, I think we're going to be able to uncover this idea of why the power of the Spirit. Why, as believers, we've been given the power, why have we received this? So let's first look at this word power. Let's see what this word power means. This word power here in this verse is the power of the Spirit is the word dunamis. And here's the idea of this word. It's like a fuel. Picture not an explosion, picture more of a fuel. Or picture something that gives you the ability to do something. Electricity or gasoline. That's this kind of power. It's that sustaining power that helps us complete a task. So as we think about the power of the Spirit, it's less about those wham moments, even though those happen. God is amazing and he does powerful things. But this is the sustaining, fueling power that helps us live the Christian life. This is the power that Jesus came back with. This is the power that we have access to, that he's showing us how to live that out. He's showing us what to do with that power. So what did Jesus do? So first he comes back and literally news is spreading around throughout the whole countryside because something is different. Jesus is different. Now he's being led fully and walking fully in the power of the Spirit. And he begins to teach. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was proclaiming. So he was out living this life and the power of the Spirit was moving through him as he was proclaiming the good news. So again, I was thinking through this power because this seems kind of ambiguous. And in fact, there's a lot of churches that handle this idea of the power of the Spirit very differently. And I was wrestling through God's word and seeing, what does this power mean for me? How does it impact my life? And as I was searching, I stumbled upon a key. What I believe is the key to this idea. And it's found in Acts. It's found in Acts 1:8, and it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." So this word right here, look at power, right? There's that word again. You will receive power. And then what does it say? Once you have that power, what is the focus? You will be my witnesses. I'm telling you, this was the key that unlocked it for me. You see this power. What did Jesus do with the power? He literally goes and he proclaims. He begins to teach about the kingdom of God in the synagogues. He begins to become outwardly focused. And it began to dawn on me that the power has much less to do with us and more to do with those around us. See, now when we receive the power, we become outwardly focused. The power flows through us to those around us. That was the key that unlocked it for me. The power is outwardly focused. That as we receive this power of the Holy Spirit, as we receive this amazing truth, as we receive this power once we are saved, upon the moment of salvation, the power now lives in us, but it's outwardly focused. It's focused on reaching your neighbor. It's focused on proclaiming the good news. It is not so much about what God wants to do in us, but through us. And that began to open up a whole world to me. I began to look at passages of Scripture all throughout. And all throughout, whenever it talks about the power of the Spirit, it's connected to the gospel. It's connected to proclaiming to the gospel. It's connected to telling people about God. It's connected to being on a mission for Him. Here's another great verse to look at. Romans 15, 13 and verse 19. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so you may overflow with hope by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 19, a couple verses later, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God, so that what? From Jerusalem all the way around Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Again, the power of the Holy Spirit, this power again, the power of the Spirit of God, and then what? Proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. It's not rocket science. We're here for a purpose. And as we start digging into this, we need to understand that Christ modeled this. Paul models this. People all throughout history in the church have modeled this. It's now our turn to model it. It's now our turn to think about what does it look like to stop being a navel gazer. Think about our, that's what my mom used to say. So she goes, quit being a navel gazer. Start looking up around at the world around you. What does it look like to start living that way? Start thinking less about the church as like a wagon circle where we just circle up and keep everybody on the inside safe, and start turning around looking out at the world around us. Start looking at the pain. Start looking at those that are lost. Start looking at those that are struggling even with their faith, who are questioning. Look at those who are atheists, but now they're asking deep questions. Look at those who are hostile to God, but they've had brokenness in their life. They experienced death, and now they're searching for hope. Sometimes it just starts with us looking up and realizing that there is a world out there. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. And this power that God has given us, that Jesus lived out, that He carried, this power is within us. That power, the Spirit's power, invigorates the mission. The Spirit's power in our lives, that is the power flowing through us. It invigorates the mission that God has given us. It sharpens us. It strengthens us. It brings out the mission. There is no plan A. Let me say that again. There's no plan B. We are the plan. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. We are, yes, there is a plan. We are the plan. We are plan A. There's no plan B. And that's the statement. I'm not perfect, all right? I'm glad Jesus is, but not me, all right? But really, when someone told me that to me the first time, it really hit me. The church is the plan to reach the lost. The church, you are the plan to reach the lost. And if you're not doing it, who is? And it just breaks my heart because I think about all the opportunities that I miss out on conversations because I'm nervous, or someone asks me a question and I shy away from giving an answer. Or the Spirit prompts me to say, go pray with that person. And I go, no, I don't want to pray with that person. So I don't pray with that person. So what a great reminder. We are the plan to reach the world. God has given us what we need to do it. I don't know how many of you, let's get a show of hands. How many of you drive a car? All right, yeah, I thought so. Okay, so think of a car, but for me, it'd probably be a 2023 Toyota Tacoma 4x4 extended cab. That's like my dream vehicle. So if you need any ideas for me for Father's Day, I don't know why you'd buy me a Father's Day gift, but if you have any ideas, that you'd bless me. I'm kidding. But so whatever vehicle you want to think of, a minivan, the beautiful Toyota, or if you want to, a car, whatever it is, just picture this. What you are made new. It's kind of like we're a new car. You're new. You are a new creation or a new creature. God has stepped in and created you new. He's given you new life. It's like you are a brand new car. Just bear with me for this. So you look all new and shiny. You've just been driven off the lot. And you literally roll up to the gas station, all right? Super excited. You roll up to the gas station, and it's like God comes and sticks the fuel in you and right at the pump. The pump's in you, and you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You are fueled up. You're sitting there in the parking lot, and you are fueled up. Oh, man, topped up. Like, you don't even skimp. You don't even do any of this, like, I'm poor. I'm only going to do a quarter tank. You got the full tank, right? Full tank. It doesn't matter the cost of it. Jesus paid for it, so you have the full power of the Spirit. But then here's the thing. How many of us just sit there in the parking lot? Like, we just sit there. Okay, we're fueled up. But, man, like, we got an overhang. We're out of the rain, right? And anytime I want to clean my window, I got my little squeegee. I can just clean the window. And if I'm hungry, I can go get snacks right here. Like I kind of like this gas station parking lot. But let me ask you a question. What car do you know is created for the gas station parking lot? A car is created for the open road. A car is created to hit the road, to go out on a journey and an adventure. A car is made for the highway, not the gas station. I don't know how many of us, though, in our Christian life, we treat it like we're a car all fueled up with the Spirit, but we just sit in the gas station. We say, I get that there's a world out there. I get that there's highways, but I could get in an accident. It's dangerous. There's storms. It's really comfy here at the gas station. They got Swedish fish in there. Right, yeah, that's my favorite. I know it's weird. It's my favorite. But they got snacks, right? It's comfortable. I don't have to drive, and I don't have to scuff up my car. Here I am. It's a beautiful car. And what is Jesus saying to us? He's saying, go. He's saying, go. You have the power of the Spirit. Just the fact that you are a Christian here today, just the fact that you have been born again, you have the power of the Spirit. He dwells in you, and that power is not just to change you, it is to change the world around you. That power is outwardly focused. That power has been given to you to go and reach people. The last thing Jesus said to us before he left was, go, 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 go. As you're going, get going, go, 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 go. Go and tell people about me. He says, go. The Great Commission. Go, therefore, into all the world, he says, and tell them about me. Baptize them. What an amazing truth today. Baptism is an amazing picture of life change. He's saying, go, therefore, into the world. Go locally. Go all around in your region. Go across the world, but be willing to go. And then here's the thing. Did he say, okay, come here, pastors. Circle up, pastors. Okay, I want you to go share, tell people about Jesus. Okay, missionaries, come here. Circle up missionaries. I just want you, anyone that's going to go overseas, I want you to be the ones to tell people about Jesus. What did he say? He says, every person. He tells the entire body of Christ. He said, it is our job. It is our mandate to go. Go into all the world. Get in the car. Drive. Go out on mission. Stop sitting here with a full tank of the fuel of the Spirit. The power that raised Jesus from the dead that's within you is now at your fingertips. It's time to go. This is those types of messages that just, I mean, every time I think about it, every time I read it, it just like, just punches me upside the head. All right, like Charlie, you got to go. If you're going to tell people, you got to go too. I'm like, oh, you're right, God. I need to be living on mission as well. And I want to say this. This is just another little side note. Don't think of this as a legalistic thing. Think of it more as a heart posture thing. It's less about, here's a checklist of this many people I got to go tell at this amount of time, and I have to have it done by 11 a.m. on this day. No, it's more about what does it look like to have eyes like Jesus? Eyes that when Jesus saw those that were hurting, that when he saw a woman who was bleeding and suffering, touched his cloak, stopped all he was doing to talk to her. Jesus who had eyes to see the world around him. Jesus coming back in the power. Again, that's what it says here in Scripture. It says that he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And what did he do? He was teaching. He had an outward focus from the get-go. Begins to change everything. Begins to change how we live. Begins to change what we live for. This verse here in verse 15, I want to look at this. We read this at the beginning, but it says this. He was teaching in their synagogues. And then what does it say? And everyone praised him. This is something that's important to remember and understand too. Jesus came to what? Bring the kingdom of God. It's an amazing study. And if you ever want to dig in more, dig into kingdom theology. It is profound. So those of you who are Bible nerds that love to dig into big, dense topics, the kingdom of God is one of those. It is a powerful, powerful truth. Here it is in a nutshell. Jesus came to bring the kingdom. And he is the king of the kingdom. And now that we belong to him, we are citizens of the kingdom. Therefore, we're not citizens of the United States anymore. We're not citizens of this world anymore. We belong to heaven. And so now, as heaven citizens, it is our job to build the kingdom. And as we build the kingdom, we are praising the king of the kingdom. It says that everyone praised him. They had no idea who he was. Oh, that's just Jesus. But he starts to talk, and they're like, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. They start to give him some praise. I'm sure that it maybe wasn't a heart of worship at this point, maybe some. But it was like, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. They're giving him praise and honor. And ironically, they had no idea, but it was praise and honor that he deserved. And so now here we are thinking about the mission of reaching the lost around us. But it's not for us. When we teach, when I proclaim, when I tell people about Jesus, when I preach on a Sunday, when you share in your workplace or with your family, the goal isn't for you to say, ah, oh, attaboy, I'm going to get a pat on the back. The goal is to what? Give praise to Jesus. The goal is to say, I understand that I am the one speaking, but it's not really my words and it's not my power. It is the Spirit's power flowing through me. Therefore, he gets the credit. Because as kingdom citizens, we do everything to honor and glorify the king of the kingdom. That's who Jesus is, and that's who Jesus was here as he came down, and everyone praised him as he taught, as he unpacked God's word. The Spirit fuels the mission of building the kingdom of God. If there's anything I can leave you with, it's this. This is what the Spirit does. This is what the power of the Spirit. The Spirit fuels the mission of building the kingdom. The Spirit is the backbone of our Christian life, and he is the power that flows through us. And he is building his kingdom. So my challenge for us today is this. Let's be people who share our faith. There are those of us who are gifted in evangelism, and it's clear that's one of the spiritual gifts where I know this guy, he was a mentor of mine. Literally, he would break down and he'd lead the tow truck driver to Christ, and then he'd get taken to the mechanic, he'd lead the mechanic to Christ, and he'd lead people that were overhearing. And I was like, man, this guy, how does he do it? And he has the gift of evangelism. It just comes so naturally. But here's another thing I've learned from Scripture. It doesn't say leave evangelism to the evangelist. It tells all of us to do it. So even though some of us might not be gifted in God, like Billy Graham, per se, or somebody who's telling thousands about Jesus all the time, we're still called to be an evangelist in how we live, to be willing to give a reason for the hope that we have, to ask good questions, to talk to people, to listen to people, to pray with people, to be Jesus to people. We're not called to be consumers. The Christian life is not, I come to church on Sundays, I hope it's a good message, like that it kind of challenged me a little bit. But that challenge wears off by the time I get to lunch and have my Chipotle and I forget about it. And then I take a long nap and then I'm back to the workday. And if I remember, I might read my devotions, you know, once a week. And then I go back to church the next Sunday. Great, I'm a Christian. God is saying there's so much more at your fingertips. The Spirit is living within you. He's guiding you, and you have access to that power to live on mission. If we weren't supposed to be on mission, why do you think God saved us and kept us here? Wouldn't he have just taken us to heaven? If we didn't have a purpose of being here, we can worship God in heaven, can't we? Yeah, we can. So that's not the only reason why he kept us here. It's because the work's not done. It's because the work's not done. Here's another thing, too. It's not your power, and it's not your words. So get out of the way and just let the Spirit work. Here's a real practical thing that I often will do. If I go into a situation, I'll just pray, God, please, just your words. Give me your words to say in this situation. And then I'll approach things with a form of a question. There's a lot of great questions. Here's one. If you want to write down a great question, here's a great question to write down if you want to share your faith. Are you connected to a church anywhere? It's literally sounds so simple. It's so simple it's dumb. But here's why it's a great question that works in the United States, especially in the Midwest. It doesn't work in every context, but in the Midwest it works great. Everybody, I would dare say everybody, is at least 1 to 2 people removed from a churchgoer. So almost everybody has gone to church once or twice with their grandma or their mom, or they know somebody who went, or they used to go. And so that kind of question sparks so are you connected to a church anywhere? It doesn't say anything about Jesus yet. It doesn't say anything about God. It's very off. Oh, you know what? I used to go, but I kind of stopped going. Well, why did you stop going? Well, you know, I just got busy in the pandemic, you know, and it's been, you know, and all of a sudden you're in the midst of a conversation. Or, you know, my mom always wants to get me to go, but I just don't know if I believe that stuff. Well, tell me, like, what about it don't you believe? And pretty soon you're in the middle of a very unthreatening conversation talking about church. And you begin to ask them more questions, and then pretty soon you get to the point where you say, well, can I tell you what I believe? Can I tell you why I go to church? And they might say, no, thank you. You say, okay, well, God bless. Or they might say, yeah, tell me. And you have the floor. This question has been huge for me. You know, and it can be so quick. You know, anytime I'm at I'll ask somebody if I'm getting Starbucks or I'm at a coffee shop or a restaurant, just the person that's checking, you know, cashing me out, I'll say, hey, you know, you connect to a church anywhere? Like, hey, I'm new to the area. I'm back in the area and trying to figure things out. Are you connected to a church? It is a hack, I'm telling you. It is because people are willing to answer that question. If you go up to them and say, what do you do with Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Do you believe in Jesus? Sometimes that works, but sometimes people are like, whoa, the J word. Wow, you know, that name, that's the name, I'm telling you. It's the name. You can talk about God all you want. Once you mention the name of Jesus, things change. So, ask good questions. It's a great place to start. Remember, it's not your power. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to practice. I have here a Tic Tac. I have about 120 of them that I bought. And here's what I want. And what it says is, breath of life, ? You know, I get it, Tic Tac, learning to breathe. You know, it's at least funny to me. I don't know if it's funny to anybody else. So here's my challenge to you, and here's what I want us all to do. I want you to grab a Tic Tac on your way out. Grab two if you can think of two people. And I want you to give them away this week. I want you to think about, who's that coworker you know that's not a believer? Who's somebody that's maybe searching in your life? Who's your neighbor that you've had a conversation with? Who's the complete stranger when you're walking, I don't know, Great Northern Mall and you want to give it away? Whoever it is, I want to encourage you, take this and commit to giving it away this week. And have a conversation. It can be as small as, hey, I just want to let you know that you're loved, and I want to give you this Tic Tac. They're sealed, so people probably don't open it because people are a little weird by that. They're sealed, so that's a good thing. Give it away. Have a good conversation. There's the question here, breath of life. You can say, hey, do you have the breath of life? And they'll be like, what is the breath of life? There, you have the floor. That's a great example. I put that on there. You could just give it away and say, hey, my church is doing this thing, and I just wanted to tell you, you know, I'll be praying for you. Another example is, hey, can I pray for you? And I just want to give you this Tic Tac and tell you, you know, we have a church in town and love to invite you. Make it your own. Figure out how you want to use this. But I want to challenge you. Having a simple tool like this when you're giving something away and having a conversation, it makes it so much easier. It breaks down a lot of barriers. You can even talk about, you know, we're doing a sermon series, and, you know, my pastor thinks he's funny, but the joke's not that good. Here's a Tic Tac, you know, whatever it is. You get the idea. But I will encourage you. I encourage you to live on mission this week in a tangible way. And we're going to start doing this actually every month. Every month, so we're going to call them blitzing the community. Picture like a football blitz where you blitz the quarterback. We're going to start blitzing the community with love. And sometimes it'll be on a Sunday where we pass out. We have things to just connect with people in our communities. It might be service projects we do. But we're going to start being an outwardly facing church. We're going to not be circling up. We're going to be looking out to the people around us. And today it's going to be giving them Tic Tacs. If you maybe you get close, this is an idea. This just came to me. You'd be like, man, your breath stinks. Here's some Tic Tac. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. So here's my parting thought. This is the parting thought that I want to tell you. You might not be Billy Graham. You might not be Dwight L. Moody, who started Moody Bible Institute and was the biggest evangelist. But let me tell you, you might be the person who leads Dwight Moody to the Lord. You might be the person that tells Billy Graham about Jesus. And then he tells thousands, millions of people. When I think about that, when I think about how I impact my kids, that my son Miles, if he comes to know the Lord, who knows the impact he can have? Or that homeless guy down the street, or somebody that I meet in the store, that I'm just that last person. They may hear about this Jesus person, and I'm that last person to show him love and say, man, God loves you, and I want to tell you that Jesus died for you. And that was what sparked something in them. And then God uses them in powerful ways. You have no idea who you may have the privilege of sharing Christ with. So church, let's go on mission this week. Let's be outwardly facing. Let's understand that just like Jesus had the power of the Spirit and that power prompted him to be outwardly focused, let's remember this. The Spirit was given to us, not for our own benefit only, but to change the world. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your Spirit. God, thank you so much for the mission you've called us to. God, may we take it seriously. May we enjoy representing you to the world. God, give us boldness this week. Allow us to have conversations. God, help us pray that you will reveal to us. God, may that be in the back of our minds to pray continually. Lord, who do you have for me to talk to today? God, I pray for me personally that you will embolden me to live on mission for you, to be an evangelist, to represent you, to have conversations. Spirit, it's by your power and it's your words. So I pray you guide us today. In Jesus' name, amen.